As we open God's word this morning, let us pray together. Living God, help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that in understanding we may believe, and in believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is from the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I invite you to open up the Bibles with me and to read along. Hear the word of the Lord. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you know this line describing the month of March, please finish it with me. March, in like a lamb and out like a lion. Of course, we wish that there was no lion at all. March, 52 degrees yesterday, thunderstorms tonight, snow tomorrow. One author described March in this way: a month with considerable frustration. Can I hear an amen? It is so near spring, and yet across a great deal of the country, the weather is still so violent and changeable that outdoor activity in our yard seems light years away. The tension of the already and not yet of Iowa Springs can become so thick with self-doubt. Will the days really get longer? Will the snow ever melt? Will the grass turn green? Will the trees bud? Will the daffodils bloom? With great expectation, looking for the sign of spring, we wonder, we long for the new creation of the earth, that the earth may be turned over and we see life again. Of course, this is not what the Apostle Paul is writing when he talks about a new creation. When he wrote to the people of Corinth, he wrote to them with much more meaning and depth, once again revealing to the people the life-changing grace given to us through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this grace, the new creation is revealed. All is gone. All the old is gone, and the new is here. Not a new creation where all is good at one moment and then bad the next, but a new creation of a new beginning, a new start, a new life. Everything is different in Christ. Everything is new. Paul writes, From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Paul knows clearly from his own past what it means to see others from a worldly point of view. Before his conversion, when he was still known as Saul, with a great amount of passion, his life's purpose was to shame the very name of Christ and anyone who claimed to be a disciple of him. He was blinded by the ways of the Lord and only saw Jesus as a threat, a coward, his ultimate enemy. He only saw Jesus from a human point of view. Yet in his conversion, the scales from his eyes were literally removed and his perspective changed from a life of hate to now a life lived through Jesus Christ. His perspective was no longer the perspective of himself, but it became a spiritual one, a life no longer lived in Paul's own self-interest, but only for Christ. In Christ, Paul is a new conversion. In Christ, the people of Corinth are a new creation. In Christ, we are a new creation. So Paul doesn't mince words when he writes the second letter to the people of Corinth. After all, the people had a reputation of themselves. They were used to a religion with a wild life and not a religion that changed them from the inside out. They probably gave Paul more trouble than any church that Paul founded. And as much as Paul wrote to them with great confidence and authority, articulating the ways of Christ and what a community now shall look like as they live into Christ, they still questioned who he was. And they saw him as being inconsistent, and they didn't trust his credentials. They liked teachers that delivered a feel-good message that only served themselves and their own self-interests. So the people of Corinth took Paul as being weak when Paul showed more interest in showing them the ways of Christ and not the ways of Paul. So Paul writes to them saying, from now on, we see the world and the people around us from a new perspective. Perspective only through Christ. If anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that ministry of reconciliation look like? That God, reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. This is the lens by which we are called to live. We see the world as God sees it. Not counting people's sins against them, but instead working to make the relationship between God and humanity right again. All this through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love this last part of this passage in verse 21. Listen to it this way. God made him who had no sin, that is, Jesus Christ, to be a sin offering so that we might become holy and pure with God. Did you notice, by the way, that in this text, it does not say, and this is what humanity did to fix their relationship with God. Or it doesn't say, God therefore had a list of requirements that must be performed by all of humanity before God would work to reconcile the relationship with them. No, this text says over and over again, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God is the one that is working over and over again, God is bringing us back into pure relationship with Him, not counting people's sins against them. Therefore, our perspective is new. As followers of Jesus Christ, we not only begin to look and act like Jesus, but our visual point of view should be the perspective of how Christ sees the world. Yes, the world is still broken. Yes, the world struggles deep within sin. But God sees a world of love. God so deeply loves the world that God draws the world back to Him. Everything is different. Everything is new. Ari, today this is a very important day in your life. It is more important than the day you received your driver's license and left your house for the very first time by yourself. It's more important. So that day might have been life-changing and forming for you as well. It is more important than the day that you chose your major at Dort College. It is more important than the day when you will get married in December. Or more important than the day you start your very first job. For on this day, you proclaim before your family and your friends and in front of all of Christ Church that your perspective on life is now different. You see the world as Christ sees it. You are professing your desire to follow Christ in all your ways, to dedicate your life to following Christ. And as you are a new creation, your perspective changes. It will change the way that you are a husband to your future wife. It will change the way that you do your job, how you spend your money, where you live. All of this is for Christ and Christ's glory alone. You are professing that you love God because God first loved you. It is a momentous day, not just for you or your family or your friends, but the entire church celebrates with you. But years ago, 22 years ago on December 17, you've already heard these words. You probably don't remember them. I'm sure your parents do. Young parents with their first child, I'm guessing here, could be completely wrong, but you probably had a special outfit just for that occasion. You might have cried, maybe not during the baptism itself, but throughout the day you might have cried some, probably spit up a little bit, and your parents were probably a little nervous, unsure of the unpredictability of a young child's actions in front of the congregation. But on that day, when you and your parents were reminded of the symbolism of water and baptism, and when you were reminded of the gifts and promises of baptism, you heard your name being called. And then Pastor Mary Halst probably said something like this: "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, this child is now received into the visible membership of the Holy Catholic Church, engaged to confess the faith of Christ and to be God's faithful servant until life's end." Did you hear the words? Engaged. Engaged to confess the faith of Christ. You might not have realized it on that day, but your baptism was an actual engagement party in anticipation of this very day. On this day, on March 4, a promise is fulfilled as you confess your life is new in Christ Jesus. New only by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. New only by the call of God in your life. New only because God first loved us. All this is from God. All of it, Ari. All of this is from God. And you are not alone. Today, think about it. You join Apostle Paul and the people of Corinth as an ambassador of Christ. You join those who have gone before you, the great cloud of witnesses, both visible and invisible, who have lived their life from this new perspective of following Christ's ways and to glorify God in all that you do. You join the visible church, Covenant Christian Reformed Church, and the church lowercase c spread around the entire globe to be the mouthpiece of Christ, working to bring peace and harmony to those so longing for spring. I'm not talking about the weather here, although that would be nice. I'm referring to the longing to be released from the tension that looms within us in our bondage of sin. I'm referring to the tension that envelops our world at every level, deep within its core. Our call, your call, my call is to not only share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to be the good news agents of Christ. Our call is to see the world as God sees it, not counting the sins against them, but to love because God first loved us. In Christ, Paul is a new creation. In Christ, the Corinthians are a new creation. Ari, in Christ, you are a new creation. We are a new creation. Come with me to a village in southern Ethiopia. The name of the village is called Fundame. The population is about 47,000, but you would never know it, as the homes are spread out among the farmland and the hilltops. The homes are placed on an acre, or a little less than an acre, and they look round with mud huts with grass on the top. I found myself sitting in one of those huts a few weeks ago. I sat there in a community outside of Fundame. The landscape was beautiful. Their lawn was so well kept. And there in front of their grass huts were some clay pots. I sat in this smaller home, my knees almost touching the people who were sitting there in front of me. I sat with the Tessa Foundation's country director and a school director of a local school that we work with in Fundame. Her name is Mulinesh. Mulinesh told me a story of these people who live in this hut. That's called a bet, actually. Bet, a house. She told me about the people who live in this small community on the outskirts of Fundame. They are artisans. They make the clay pots, the pots that people make their coffee in that they place over the fire. Coffee is important in the life of Ethiopia. You need these clay pots to live. Mulinesh told me about these people in this community that live far from everybody else. They're not accepted by the rest of Fundame. When they have a large gathering in the city, these people, because they're artisans, they have to sit on the outskirts. These people, perhaps coming from the Jewish tradition, because that's how it goes in Ethiopia, these people once made pots and known as Jewish, from the Jewish descent, now are Christians. But they're still not welcomed into the community, so they sit on special stools on the outskirts of the family gather or the large community gatherings. Hardly anybody in this small area is educated because they're not included. Although they're Christians, they're not included to be educated. Mulinesh, she sees them as God sees them, though, and she's now made sure that 7 children are included in the 200 other students at the school. I didn't understand why. Why? They simply make pots. What's wrong with them? So a few days later, I found myself with my friend Elsa, a co-laborer in Christ. I'm sharing this with him, and he said, "Oh, yes, Liz, these people are not included. Even pastors will not have coffee with them." And Elsa says, "But who makes the pots that they drink their coffee out of? These people." And Elsa says, "No longer are they should be seen as different because there are no longer Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, male and female. And together, Elsa and I say, for we are all one in Christ." How often do we do this ourselves? We label people from their past. We see them from a human perspective, not seeing them as Christ would see them. In my house, we talk about the land of yeah buts. You know, we make excuses. Yeah, but that's how they were once. Yeah, but they sinned, and I don't think they should be included. Yeah, but God makes no land of yeah buts. God loves before we love because God first loved us. What would it look like in your life if you made an intentional effort to see God's creation as God sees it? What would it look like if we saw those around us not from as human beings, but as God's image bearers, as God's children, as God's very own adopted children? Start right now. Look around this place. Who do you see? Whom do you see? Paul doesn't claim to do this perfectly. And we definitely don't do it either. I find myself seeing people in a human perspective all the time. We need reminders, reminders of whose we are and who we belong to. We need frequent reminders that we are a new creation, that the old is gone, that the new is here. We need reminders like today, confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, just like Ari professes his. We need reminders of our very own baptism, when God called us by name, when we celebrate our own engagement parties. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Do you see God's people among you? Do you see Christ within you, within your brother or sister? Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Come quickly. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, open our blind eyes to see you and our neighbors and our brothers and sisters. Move and shape us to live in and through you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.